In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As you all know, today we celebrate the last day of the Coptic year. And tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of Nyruz, which is like New Year's Day. So today's like New Year's Eve in the Coptic Church. And for the last 2 weeks of the Coptic year, all the readings and all the everything is focused on not the end of the year, but on the end of the world. And if you were paying attention last week, you heard the gospel reading last week, and all the readings were about the second coming of Christ. You heard the same thing in today's gospel again, all talking about the end times. Now, whenever you talk about the subject of the second coming of Christ and the end, it's a subject that not a lot of us know about. And it's a subject, from what I've seen, there's kind of two extremes that people take on this subject of the second coming of Christ. The first is the crazy extreme, which are the people who view everything in light, try to read everything as a sign of the second coming, and are always trying to guess about what's this mean and how many years this and who's the Antichrist. And one day it's George Bush is the Antichrist, the next day it's Bill Gates. Someone's telling me Mickey Mouse is the Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. And some people who are trying to get too far into it and trying to look too much at the signs. But then the other extreme is just probably just as dangerous as the first one, which is to not care about the second coming and not care about the end. Say, you know what, it's hard and it's difficult and it's complicated and I don't understand it, and I don't understand the book of Revelation, and I don't know that kind of stuff, so we just kind of ignore it. That's not a wise way to approach it either. You know how many things in life we prepare for? We prepare for things that may never, ever, ever happen. Well, this is the one thing that I promise you. No matter who you are, if you're rich or you're poor, if you're tall or you're short, it doesn't matter where you live or how old or this and that, I promise you that one thing that all of us is going to have in common is all of us' life is going to end and all of us are going to have to face that second coming of Christ. Think how much time we spend to prepare for retirement. We may not live tomorrow. How much time we spend to prepare for, you know, a test or an exam or a whatever. Well, it doesn't make sense to not prepare for this just because it's difficult. I was talking with someone the other day, and he was telling me how he just started his class. And he started taking calculus class. It was at the AP level. And he started telling me about his AP calculus, this and that, and he was telling me he didn't understand a word the teacher's saying. The teacher might as well be talking Chinese. He didn't understand anything. One thing he did understand very, very clear is there's a big test at the end of the year, and that test determines like 95% of his grade. So even if this guy doesn't want to listen to calculus, and this guy doesn't want it, says it's hard, and you know what, let me just kind of, I'm going to ignore it, and just kind of, hopefully I'll make it through the end, and hopefully I'll just figure out a way. Maybe the test will go away by itself. That's not a smart way to go about calculus class, and it's not a smart way to go about life when it comes to the end. So where does God want us to be? He doesn't want us to be this extreme, doesn't want us to be that extreme. There's a nice verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. St. Paul is talking about the end. And he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I like this verse because it tells us exactly what God wants us to know and where God wants us to be when it comes to the end and the judgment and the second coming and all that kind of stuff. He wants us to be informed and inspired. He says that I do not want you to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to walk around with our eyes closed and say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, and just kind of walk around and just hope the best thing kind of turns out. He wants us to understand what's going on. That's why St. Paul spoke about it. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about it today. But he doesn't tell us about the end to scare us, as sometimes we think. He's not coming to confuse us or to make us miserable, to make us all stressed out. He's actually coming to comfort us, as that verse says, to give us hope. Did you know, in the early days, when St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians here, or in 2 Thessalonians like we read, do you know when they used to talk about the second coming, they did it as a way to comfort people. When people were stressed out, and people were disturbed, and people were scared, they would talk about the second coming to give them calmness, and give them kind of hope. That doesn't sound much like the way we talk about the second coming, does it? It usually does the exact opposite for us. But that's not what it was meant to be. God didn't want to scare us. He wanted us, just again, back to calculus. When am I calm about calculus? When I know the subject, and I'm prepared for the exam, and I know everything that's going to happen, I can be cool, calm, and collected. That's what God wanted for us as well. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ spent today's gospel speaking about the second coming and in lots of details. Our problem is, one of the reasons why we don't like the second coming, we can't understand it, is because there's no, like, other than the book of Revelation, there's no, like, one passage in the Bible that talks about, like, all the details. There's no, like, comprehensive list. There's no place where it says this, 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 and this. There's pieces in the gospel that talk about these signs. And then St. Paul mixes in some things around here. And then some of the other epistles talk about this and that. So what you gotta kind of do, what we'll try to do today, is kind of put together all these signs, try to put them in the right order, and try to get a better picture of what the second coming is going to look like. But regardless of what you believe about the second coming, because I know a lot of people have different funny beliefs about it, but I know one thing for certain. I know one thing without a shadow of a doubt. I know one thing that I can bet all my money on that I know for sure. I don't know when and how and all this kind of stuff for sure, but there's one thing I know for sure, and that is very simple, is that Jesus Christ will come back. He is coming. That's one thing that everyone agrees on. There's no way anyone can doubt that. That he, as he came before, he will come back again. And that in and of itself should kind of change the way I go about life. You know, in the book of Acts, when Christ ascended to heaven, I want you guys to put yourselves in the shoes of the apostles here for a few minutes. Okay? You're St. Peter, you're St. John, you're St. James, all the rest of those guys, and you've seen some amazing stuff over the past few days. Christ killed, Christ rose again from the dead, he's walking around this earth, he's doing all kinds of cool stuff, and he's standing there talking to you. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he's standing there talking to them," look at me right here, I'm standing here talking to you, and I'm preaching to you about the second coming, and I'm telling you about this and that. Then all of a sudden, poof, I go up into a cloud. What would you do? What would you be doing? Well, you'd be doing exactly what they were doing as that happened. And they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. They were gazing up at heaven saying, "Oh my goodness, what in the world just happened?" An angel appears to them. It says, "Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" You can see from this passage why the early church really thought that Jesus was coming back any day. They didn't know that he was going to come back 2,000 years later, 3,000 or 4,000. They didn't know that it was going to be such a long time, because they're standing there watching. All of a sudden he goes up and they say, "Where did he go?" And then someone comes down and says, "No, don't worry, he's coming right back." So you can see why their life was transformed, because they had this concept of Jesus coming back and they thought it could happen at any moment in time. When you think about the second coming, keep this picture in mind of Christ coming back to take us back to heaven, okay? He's not coming back to judge us or condemn us. He's coming back to take us to where we belong, which is at home. You know, one of the things, you know, we just started the school year here at Little Flock Christian School 2 weeks ago. And one of my favorite things, of course, teachers don't like this, but one of my personal favorite things is during the first 2 weeks of school, really the first week, but the second week kind of as well, is when the kids who've never come to school before at the young age, and they never left mommy and daddy before, and those kids come to school, my favorite thing in the world is see those kids scream their heads off and see the poor teachers, they don't know what in the world to do. Last year, I'll never forget, there was one kid last year who wanted his dad to come back so much, he was making himself throw up. He was causing himself to throw up as much as he could to get his parents to try to come back and take him home. And what the teacher is trying to explain to the kid is, "Relax, buddy, relax. Your dad's going to drop you off, but he's going to come back. He's going to take you home. I promise you, when the bell rings at 3 o'clock or whatever, you go out in the parking lot, he's going to be right there. And when that happens, you're going to open the door, you're going to run, you're going to punch him, hug him, this and that. He's going to take you home and ice cream and all kinds of good stuff." That's exactly the second coming. Okay, that's exactly what happened, is God brought us here on this earth. He dropped us off for a little bit. He left us here by ourselves, not really by ourselves, but you understand the analogy. He left us here, but he's not leaving us here. He's coming back to take us home. He's not coming back to beat us. He's not coming back to yell at us. He's coming back to open up his car and say, "Come on back. It's time to go home." When you understand the second coming as your daddy coming to pick you up, then all of a sudden you have a little bit different perspective on things. And that's why our Lord spoke about it today, because he wants us to understand the second coming, understand what's going to happen in it, and like I said, be informed, but also to be inspired and to have hope. So with that said, we can talk about some of the details about the end times. Now, before I get into the details, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not saying I know everything there is to know. No one knows everything there is to know. But there are certain facts, like I said, certain points on the map that we do know, and we kind of glean them from different passages, and we can look at them. Four truths that you can see up there about the second coming. The first one is, like I just said a minute ago, is that Jesus Christ is coming again at any moment. That's what I just said. Is that the school day will end. Okay, this is not an endless day at school. School will end, and Daddy will be there in the parking lot to take us home. The second fact that we know is that this world will not last. Okay, all the stuff that you see around you will go away at some point in time. Your house will go away. Your car will go away. Your bank account will go away. Your fancy schmancy clothes, your hat, your shoes, your everything that you see around you will go away. Everything is going to be gone. Except one thing, as our Lord taught us today, which is his word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So everything that you see is going to go away, and there's going to be new stuff instead of it. Third fact, not the most encouraging one, but the truth is that things will get worse before they get better. Okay? This is just a fact, that there will be some tough times. Okay? That doesn't mean it's going to be all tough times, but there will be some tribulations and tough stuff, but it'll eventually be good stuff. And again, go back to the daddy picking up his kid from school, taking him home. Maybe some traffic jams on the way home, okay? Maybe some speed bumps along the road, but it's a short-term thing, not a long-term. And then the final one is that one day, in the long-term there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and everything will be good. Just knowing those facts, I hope, changes the way you go about your daily life. I hope knowing that number two, that this world won't last, changes your view towards the things in this world. I hope knowing that Jesus will return any minute, make sure, it's kind of like, you know, your dad's going to come home and check on your room. I hope it makes you keep your room clean a little bit more than before. Our Lord taught us these things, again, not to scare us, but so that we could go about life with a different perspective on things. And when you know the end results and how the story goes, it changes how you go through life, right? Today, you know, I said a minute ago we celebrate the end of the Coptic year, but today is also another celebration that we make today. Anyone know what else we celebrate today? Great day. Sunday after Labor Day is start of the football season. Football begins today, ladies and gentlemen. And as you know, I myself happen to watch a little football every now and then, and I kind of like the sport a little bit. Especially this year, Redskins got a good chance. Well, as you all know, football on Sundays is something that I enjoy to do. I enjoy to watch. But up until last year, it wasn't that easy for me to watch. Because you know that the games usually start at 1 o'clock p.m. And by the time I finish this and that, I never get home till like 2:30, 3 o'clock. Sometimes even later, so you have to tape the game and not start till later. And you can't talk to people. They tell you the score, all this kinds of mess. Until something happened to me last year that revolutionized my life, which is TiVo. Very good. People pay attention, okay? I got TiVo. And the fact that I got TiVo means that I can go home anytime I want. I can just pick up the game whenever I want. I don't got to worry about the VCR, none of that kind of stuff. Now I can relax a little bit on Sundays because I got the TiVo at home. Well, since we're about to get started in the new season, I decided to get myself excited and get ready and get in the mood. So I went back to the games that I TiVoed from last year. And I watched just the tail end of the Cowboys game. You guys remember the Redskins fans remember that Cowboys game, I'm sure. Maybe some Dallas fans in here surely remember that as well. That was the game. That was on a Monday night, week two, all right, where the Redskins, their arch rival, the Cowboys, were losing 13-0, and they were playing just horrible football the entire game until the last 5 minutes. Last 5 minutes, they scored 2 touchdowns, and they won the game. We celebrated. We jumped. It was the greatest day in the history of the world. I went back and I was watching the tail end of it. But what I noticed is that as I was watching it this time, I didn't watch it in quite the same manner. Okay? When I watched it the first time, man, you better believe there was a little bit of tension in the room. Okay? There was some jumping up and down, throwing stuff around, screaming this and that. There was a lot of excitement going on. But this time when I watched it on the TiVo, did I watch it the same way? No, because I already knew how it was going to end. This time I was able to sit, relax, and kind of analyze the plays a little bit more, kind of enjoy the detail, rewind and go back forward and all that kinds of stuff. I was able to enjoy it more and be relaxed because I knew how it ended. It's the same thing with the second coming. Our Lord is telling us exactly what's going to happen so that we can relax. He's saying there's going to be wars. Don't freak out when there's wars. It's okay. There are going to be tsunamis. That's okay. You know, it's all under control. He's telling us these things so that we can know what's going on, so that we don't get startled and don't get scared. So relax, okay? If you get scared at the thought of the second coming, relax. I'm telling you, God wins, okay? The good guys win in the end. I'm telling you that our team is going to win. The only time you should be nervous is if you're not sure if you're on the team or not, and you haven't confirmed if you're listening to the coach. If that's the case, then you should be very, very nervous. But as long as you're on the master's team, and as long as you're one of his kids, he's going to come pick you up. He's not going to throw you out. He's coming to take us home, so we don't need to be scared. So our Lord wants to tell us what's going to happen so that we can understand and enjoy. I won't say enjoy, but kind of like understand that he's in control of the situation when things seem out of control. So with that said, I know everyone wants to get into the signs. And what are the signs? And the Lord spoke about some of the signs today. We'll kind of touch on them kind of quickly right here. The key to understanding the second coming is realizing that don't look at it as an event as much as a series of events. Okay? It's not like a thing as much as like a series of events which will lead to another series of events which will lead to the final series of events. Kind of break it up into three categories like I did right there. It's things, there's first of all things that point to the end, okay? Things that are saying like the end is getting closer and closer and closer. Then after that, there's a series of events that say the end is right about to happen, okay? And then the events that actually accompany the end. The first part there, the things that point to the end. This is a longer period of time, okay? This is what our Lord talked about. He called the beginning of sorrows. Look what he says here in verse 4. It says, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So the beginning of sorrows, he talks about there is going to be stuff that's going on. He starts by saying there's going to be false Christs who come in my name trying to deceive many. Can you think of any false Christs who have come along through the years trying to deceive many? I can think of a few. Wasn't there a guy named Muhammad who came and tried to deceive many, many, many people? Wasn't there a guy named David Koresh who showed up however many years ago and deceived many, many people? And there that guy, Joseph Smith, and the Mormons, and all those people. So Jesus knew what he was talking about right here. He's saying that these things are going to happen, and they're going to happen with greater frequency. Also says there's going to be wars. Are there any wars going on in the world today? When is there not wars in the world? He says there's going to be pestilences and earthquakes and famines. Sound like anything which is going on in the world? Tsunamis. Disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, all this kinds of stuff. So this period doesn't sound very nice, okay? So there's going to be all kinds of bad stuff, but there was one positive that he mentioned a few verses down. The one positive thing that happens is the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Does that sound familiar? Can you see how that's happening? He's not saying all the nations will believe and repent, but he's saying the gospel will reach all nations. Don't you see that the mission activity is increasing? Don't you see how through the internet and even the Coptic church now has like TV stations on the satellite and stuff like that? Don't you see how the gospel is reaching more and more? This is that period of time where the Lord is saying all these things are going to happen, and then each one of these things will culminate in a big thing. For example, there will be many false Christs during this time, and then there'll be one big antichrist. There'll be many wars that are happening during this time. Then there's going to be the Great War, and all the nations of the world will be involved in it. There's going to be like famines and all that kind of stuff. then there's going to be the great famine at the very, very end of it. So right now we're in this kind of time period. How long does this last? Well, so far it's been lasting for 2,006 years. Okay, started 2006 or after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, and it's been going on ever since. But just because it's been going on so long doesn't mean that it's going to go on much longer. It's kind of like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it's rolling down the hill. And these days, that snowball is getting bigger and bigger. So the fact that we can see some of the small signs, we haven't seen like the big Antichrist, but we've seen a lot of the false Christ. We haven't seen the big war, but all these other wars. The fact that we've seen those things means that if we're smart, we should prepare for the big one coming. I divide the world into two kinds of people. Okay, there's two kinds of people as far as I'm concerned. The world would call them like type A, type B, all those kinds of nonsense. I call them the people. I can differentiate the two people in one thing. When you're driving in your car and you hear a you hear some kind of buzzing sound. There's two kinds of people. People A, normal people, will do something about that. Okay? Will determine that this noise can't be random. Okay, this noise isn't probably just going to go away by itself. Then most likely, this noise is only going to get worse. And the right kind of people take action at that moment in time. Then there's the other group of people. The other group of people say, you know, maybe it'll go away. You know, I hope someone, maybe it's maybe I like the sound. It's nice kind of, it's nice humming. You know, I like the little lights on the dashboard that light up and stuff like that. Those kind of people are the people you see on the side of 66 with the engine that has fallen out of the car, okay? Because they didn't take action when the noise was just a little noise. They waited for it to become a big noise. Little noises in cars don't go away by themselves. And little wars is going to lead to big wars. And little false Christ is going to lead to big antichrist. And all these signs mean the end is coming. So we should be prepared now and not wait for that end. You could save yourself a lot of time, a lot of hassle, if you'd have taken care of the car when it was just a little light and a little buzz. Little oil light, little oil, finished, problem solved. But if that oil runs out, man, oh man, it's going to take a lot more than little oil to fix that car. Same thing when it comes to the end of the world. So those are the times that we're living in now, the signs that point to the end. After that, there comes the signs that immediately precede the end. This will not be a long time. This will be a shorter time that says the end is right about to happen. It's kind of like, you know, if you go to the movies. You walk in, get your popcorn, your juju fruits, all this kind of stuff. You sit down, and there's previews, okay? And you don't know how many previews there's going to be. Sometimes there's two, sometimes there's three, sometimes there's ten. Who knows how many there's going to be? But then in a moment in time, the lights go off. And as soon as the lights go off, the movie hasn't started, but you know it's right about to start. Well, that's what happens right here. We're right now living in the preview section. This could be the last preview, okay? This could be the last sign before the end. I don't know when the lights are going to go out, but I see that the lights are getting dimmer and the curtain's about to open. And when a curtain opens, that's that next step. What is that? Well, our Lord talked about in a couple verses right here, verse 10 and 12. He said, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up, deceive many, because lawlessness will abound, and love of many will grow cold. This isn't very positive. This is, like I said, that this is the hard times that come before the good time. He said a lot of people is going to lose faith. And a lot of, like Abu Mishra was talking about last week, a lot of the stars will fall. And a lot of the people who are the leaders are going to become disheartened. And this is a very, very tough time for the world. Look what else it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. In the last days, perilous times will come. You tell me if this sounds like we're getting closer to this or not, how familiar this sounds. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Kids, disobedient to parents. Can you believe that in the last times kids will disobey their parents? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound familiar? Again, why are we discussing this? So that when you see this stuff, when you see the stars falling, when you see the leaders going down, relax. Okay? Relax. This is, God has it under control. God knew this was going to happen. God told you this was going to happen. This is all according to God's plan. Okay? So we don't think God is abandoning us. So, the big events that point to the end, then the lights go out and the end is right about to happen, and then there's the events that are the end, that directly accompany the end. That's the stuff that we usually think of. That's the trumpets. That's the seals. That's the sun will be darkened. The moon will go down. That's the great tribulation that the earth has never seen before and will never, ever, ever see again. That's the distressing part. The important thing when it comes to this stuff is, please, I have a warning for you. Don't get caught up in the details, okay? The details are good to know about and be informed, stuff like that, but don't get so caught up in them that you miss the big picture. You know those pieces of art that you see sometimes in the thing where you have to step back to like see it. You know, when you stand too close, you can't see it all. You have to step back to see the big picture. Well, sometimes we get so caught up, and like I said, is this guy the Antichrist in the USA and September 11th and this president, this and all that kind of stuff? Hey, relax there a little bit, okay? Don't get so caught up in the signs. Let's step back and look at the big picture. What's the big picture? Big picture is God loves me. I'm his son. I'm here at school right now. I'm here in a difficult place. But in the end, I know he's going to come and take me home. And I know all the evil that's in the world, all the bad stuff in the world, will lose in the end, okay? I know the Redskins will win. The Cowboys will lose, okay? I know how it's going to end in this story. Don't lose sight of the big picture that God is doing right here. Last question that I'm sure is on everyone's mind when it comes to the end. Everyone wants to know not what will happen, but everyone wants to know when. Look, I got good news for you. I'll tell you a little secret. I figured out when it's going to be. I figured out when. You believe me? You don't believe me? How do you not believe me? I figured out when it's going to be, and you're in luck. I didn't tell the First Liturgy people, but I'm going to tell you people because you guys are good people. I'm going to tell you right now when the end is going to be. Don't listen to Nostradamus. Don't listen to Regis and Kelly or whoever is telling you out there when it's going to be. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now when it's going to be. Ready? Quickly. That's when it's going to be. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, I'm coming when? I'm coming quickly. When is that? Quickly. When is that going to be? I don't know, but quickly sounds pretty soon to me. Okay? Doesn't sound very, very far off. When our Lord spoke about when, he told them when, but he didn't say when as a period of time. He instead drew like pictures for them of when. And he drew two pictures. He drew the picture of Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed and the picture of Noah and the flood. He said the coming of the Son of Man will be like those two, the Sodom and Gomorrah thing and the flood thing with Noah. What do those two events have in common? They have the quickly thing in common. They have the thing where people are just going and building an ark and laughing and joking this and around. All of a sudden, they're going to walk out, watch the Redskins game, they're going to do this, do that. All of a sudden, starts raining out of nowhere, and next thing you know, there's a flood. It comes quickly, like a thief in the night. You can't prepare for a thief in the night in the night. You have to prepare for a thief in the night in the day. And that's when our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Whenever you don't expect it to come, that's when it's going to come. Whenever you think it's going to be, it's going to be right before that. Because that's what our Lord said. He said, I am coming quickly. Besides, our job is not to figure out when. Our job is just to be prepared and to be ready, not try to figure it out. So, in the end, what in the world does this have to do with me? How is my life any different because of all this information? If I came right now and gave you a chemistry lesson on, I'm not very good at chemistry, so forgive me here, on if you mix oxygen and nitrogen and chloride and fluoride and all these kinds of things and zinc and sulfur, all that kind of stuff, and talk about combustion and explosions, this and that, you, like me, wouldn't care. But then if I came to you today and said, hey, someone put a bomb in your house and your house is on fire right now, you most certainly would care, right? Listen here, we are not talking about the end of the world. We're talking about the end of your life, okay? I'm not coming to tell you that Christ will come and all this kind of stuff and the world will end. I'm coming to tell you that your life is going to end. And it may be before you wake up tomorrow morning. I don't know when it's going to be. But we need to approach it with that kind of attitude. Usually, when we think about the end times, there's two kinds of things that we feel. Some people feel scared, and some people feel hope. Which one you are is based on your readiness for the end. And that's the important part that each one needs to leave here today. If I talk about Christ's return, and I talk about the judgment day, and I talk about the second coming, what goes through your head? What's running through your head? Fear? Anxiety? Stress? If so, You need to get yourself ready for the exam. That's not the way our Lord came to tell us about. He came to talk about this stuff to give us hope. He came to say, you're my kids, I love you, you love me. If you want to be on my team and you accept me as the master of your life, I'm not coming to judge you. I'm not coming to beat you. I'm coming to take you home. You better believe that when the dad drops his kid off at the school on the first day and he comes back, man, we're going for ice cream. We're going to go get some pizza. We're going to have some fun. Okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he talks about the second coming, it's not a bad thing. It's not a scary thing. It's something that's supposed to give us comfort and hope because he, out of his love, has prepared a great mansion and a great gift and a great eternity for me and for you and for every single other person who's here on this earth. But the question is are you ready? You know the thing about the second coming and about the end? Some people say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end. That's not true. You know exactly what's going to happen. Because there's no surprises at the end. Okay? No one will be shocked. No one will be in surprise of, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. If you choose to live a life with Christ in your life right now, then that decision, everything in the end just becomes magnified. If you want Christ close to you right now, he says at the end, okay, come and be really close. But if you choose to say, you know what? Stay a little bit far from me. Don't get too close to my life. Don't be in my house. Don't be in all my business. He says, okay, you don't want me in your business? You can go very, very, very far away. There's no surprises, okay? No one will be shocked when it comes to the end. Either you have accepted or you haven't accepted. Either you're living with him as your coach or living with him not as your coach. The decision is yours. The only time I'm scared of the exams when I'm not ready. The only time I'm scared to pass a police officer is when I'm speeding. So if the second coming, the thought of the second coming brings you fear, then you need to get yourself ready and be prepared. Glory be to God forever.